Drive Guys in the middle of another Deep Kings conversation that is right on the edge of getting a little heated here, which it may as we go to the phones in just a moment. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. So just real briefly here, I want to circle back to, we just heard Frank LaRosa, Golf to Go. A golf note here. Was it last week on the show we talked about Kirkland golf balls?
Yeah.
And Drapes mentioned them, and I was like, I didn't know that there was such a thing, and we ended up doing a whole thing, and my neighbor brought me Kirkland golf balls. Well, Drapes, on Saturday, what, you come back from Minnesota, was it?
Yeah.
And what happened?
Walk up to the front yard, and I'm like,
in your house, at your house.
At my house. I'm like, oh, snap, that's a golf ball right there. I'm excited. Let me go see. Maybe a Titleist Pro V1, maybe. Who knows? Picked it up. Kirkland golf ball in my front yard. Exactly. It was like a whammy. And
now, I thought somebody must have thrown it
right
up there, but you think it just...
No, somebody was playing with it. Yeah, like I think because the house is right next to the golf course. It's like right there along the 15th fairway. So I think somebody hit it there. So I picked it up and I looked at it and I'm like, oh, Kirkland. And so
that's too funny.
You're disappointed, man.
Yesterday, I walk in the house and I'm like, I wonder if that ball is still there. Sure enough, it's still out on my front yard. I didn't even pick it up. I didn't bring it in. I said, you know what? I ain't even gonna pick it up. I left it right there. Kirkland golf ball.
Would it have been easy or even possible for somebody to just, whoever hit it there, would have been easy for them to come into your yard and get it? Or is
right.
it like, is
yes,
there, are
they
there fences?
They could have got it.
They could have?
I mean,
okay.
Yes, they could. I mean, it's a tiny little gate or something. Like, they could have just walked over, grabbed it, and went back. But they didn't even care for it. It was a Kirkland. It's like, I got 8,000 in my bag. I don't need this one. That one's a lost ball. And so,
yeah, but it was a Kirkland signature. It was a nice Kirkland.
It was a nice Kirkland, you know? You get two boxes for what, Jay? $29.99?
Yes, sir. Two dozen.
Like
yes, sir.
Two dozen.
Can I ask what you did with it?
It's still there.
It's still there, Jay. It's still sitting in my front yard. I didn't even pick it up. You know what I'm going to do, though? I am going to just collect all those kind of balls and then just go out there and, you know, just whack at them. You know,
bring them
like
over
practice.
Here. Yeah, on the side of the building. There's
a
space.
Yeah, something
here.
Like that. Oh my God, this is crazy. We're talking about Kirkland, and somebody was like, Kyle, because I need a couch. I need a sofa. So if you got a furniture store, your boy's trying to get a deal. But no, I need a couch. And they were like, you know, Costco sells furniture. And I was like, oh man, do I go get the golf balls and the couch?
The Kirkland sectional,
right?
Yeah,
and a slice of pizza too. While I'm at it. You know what's funny? Me and my daughter were at Costco. You know, we were picking up the pizza last week or over the weekend. And she's like, Dad, you know what? You can actually live in Costco. They have everything. And I'm like, you know what, honey? You're right.
Yeah.
They got the TVs, the Xbox, the food.
Do you
she's
remember?
Like, I think they even got a bathroom in here. And I'm like, yeah, they do. So
remember Swirsky was kidding. He said he would bet us a Costco pizza on the game.
Yes.
So after the game, on Twitter, I said, what do you like on your Costco pizza? But he didn't answer me back. I guess he didn't want to
get... Oh, no, yeah, no reply?
He did not reply. No reply.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's hilarious.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Will is back with us on Sacktown Sports. How are you, Will?
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
What's up, KD?
What's up,
Kyle? How you doing, man? Hey, look here, man. I agree with everything you say, except a couple of things.
Everything except these things. What you got?
Because I know Kyle's going to say, well, I mean, you're just wrong, man. You're just wrong. Look, we don't have to agree. It don't mean the other person's wrong all the time. You know what I'm saying? Here's my beef. I love these boys, man. But the problem is, man, I just want to say this first, man. Look. We better beat the Lakers tonight because they got Gabe Vincent coming and Vanderbilt will be back in the next couple of days. Both of them guys going to be back. So the Lakers got reinforcements. We don't have no reinforcements, man. I mean, I remember last year, Kyle, me and you got into it last year when I told you the Kings when P.J. Washington was available, Christian Woods was available. You say, no, 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 no. Man, we have no athleticism on defense. That's our problem. It's not the offense. We get the big leads on the offense, and we can't stop nobody. And then when, you know, when DeRozan got hot and Gabe got hot, we had nobody to stop. And then Brown didn't make adjustments, man. We had to get the ball out of DeRozan's hand. He just cooked HB about 6 or 7 shots in a row. And then me and you get into it about HB, man. Look, HB has some good games every now and then. He has some good games. But in that game, he had 1 rebound, 1 assist. And DeRozan cooked him. And then when I saw my man Kobe getting hot. I said, man, they got a double team. They can't let he too quick on with the first step. None of them guys could guard him on his first step. Our problem is defense. The last shot again. And then you know what I found out, Katie? I couldn't believe this.
What?
When we threw the ball away, I was shocked we had a timeout.
Yeah. I was shocked.
And then, you know, Brown could have called a timeout, too. He didn't coach. He could have called a timeout. He saw they couldn't get the ball in. And then Fox is a veteran now. He's our star. He got to know, man, I got to call a timeout. You know, that was the last solid game anyway. So it's just they make – and then we know all teams gonna lose a 20-point lead every now and then. You know, you got Boston. You got, you know, Dallas. I mean – we all going to lose 20-point lead, but we lose them too many times, KD. We lose them too many times because we don't have quick guys on defense. We need some small forwards that are athletic, man. We just don't have it.
Thank you, Will.
I like Lyles, but he's slow, too. He's slow. Yeah.
Thank you, Will. He's giving you a lot to chew on there, Drapes.
Yeah, he's killing me, too, because I kind of agree with him. Like, I'm looking for holes in his argument and everything, and I just can't find it. And, you know, to his point, you know, us blowing leads, we blew 2 leads in that game against the Bulls. Like, remember, first quarter and the first quarter and a half, we got up, and we were like, yeah, we're good. And in a matter of seconds, it was gone. And – That's a major problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at athleticism on the wing, who's our athletic forward? We really don't. I mean,
I know.
Who's that? We just don't have it. And so all I'm going to say to Kings fans is this. We know the roster is incomplete. I guarantee you Monty McNair knows the roster is incomplete. Should he have done something at the trade deadline? Maybe, but we don't know. Like Chuck Swirsky said at the Bulls organization, we don't know what was presented, what was discussed. We don't know, but I tell you what, it got to change this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
If we're
mm-hmm.
talking about winning a championship,
no question.
All see the deficiencies, Whitey, of this team.
Yeah, no question. I'll just say one thing to Will's point.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, how do you disagree with those points? On the timeout, and I was sitting there wondering the same thing. How does that happen when you have a timeout? Mike Brown said, I believe he said yesterday, he was counting along and he was thinking of calling the timeout if he needed to. And then Darren threw the ball. Of course, it was terrible. So I'm not saying that makes it right or wrong, but Mike Brown did address that because I think a lot of people saw that and wondered how in a crucial possession there do you turn the ball over when you have a timeout? And those are the type of things. Let's be honest, Kyle, when those things happen, you look at coaching. That doesn't mean that's the problem, but you can't help but look at that and go, that doesn't look right. And that's part of the problem with Monday night. There were a number of those things.
Yeah, but there's, Whitey, you know, that's the, you know, second oldest profession in the world is second guessing the coach.
Well, this is first guessing in a lot of cases.
No, but I will say Mike Brown did not have his best game the other night, but nobody, like, it was a total team collapse. And that's what's so frustrating. And I'm talking to somebody in the organization about this today, riding down on the elevator. I said, it'd be different if we were a young team, you know, the Thunder, you know, Orlando, Detroit. Like, that kind of loss is something we expect out of Detroit, you know, because they got young guys. They don't know how to win. We got veterans. We got a veteran coach. Like, that should not happen. And that's so frustrating. And so it is what it is. We're going to talk about it. That's what we do on Sports Talk Radio. But as an organization, players and coaches, you can't let it, you know, ruin your next week or whatever. Like, you got another game tonight. You come out and hammer the Lakers. What are we talking about tomorrow? Drapes Takes is going to be all positive tomorrow. And so they got another chance to right the ship tonight.
Beat the Lakers tonight, and then all we're talking about tomorrow is how Jay says they're in trouble against the Spurs.
I know, right?
I'm just
kidding.
Hey,
he better come with some arguments, though. He got to come with some data or something like that. Don't be, oh, I'm just worried about these Spurs. No, tell me, dude, the Kings should handle the Spurs tomorrow, but they got to win tonight.
How many times have you said that this season? That's my data.
I know, man.
Take that, Pistons.
Dude, Hornets. Philly without Embiid. Indiana without Halliburton.
Every time, right? Yeah. Every time, Jay, they have a signature win, we're like, oh, this team's ready to turn the corner. You know, team meeting. It worked, you know? We haven't talked about that team meeting in 48 hours since that game. Like, and so I'm with you, Jay, but –
I think every time out now, the coaches just go off by themselves. Team meeting. Every time out, they have a team meeting. Every time out. Right? Give it a try. When we come back, we'll get back to the phones. Also, tell you how the Kings are members of a very small club, which might be part of the problem. As the Drive Guys return on Saturday. Getting excited about the Lakers and the Kings tonight. For at least one night, that rivalry is back. And then maybe next week, too. And then maybe this is the start of something once again. We'll see. Kings huge game tonight. Kyle Draper in Los Angeles, of course, getting ready for the game. Whitey and Jay here in our Sacramento studios. Real quick, want to check the text line here, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. From the 916, Drapes. The problem with, and they didn't put their name on it, the problem with the Kings' defense is Harrison Barnes. I was at the game against the Bulls. He got beat on straight line drives over and over again. End quote. Problem was Harrison Barnes wasn't the only one getting beaten off the dribble. Right. And there's only so many guys you can run a double at. You know, it's just you don't have enough players when you're getting beaten on the perimeter like that.
Yeah, exactly, Whitey. And, you know, Harrison Barnes played 24 minutes in that game. He played 6 minutes in the fourth quarter. So it wasn't just him, and this is the problem. You know, we look for scapegoats. Oh, HB was the problem, you know. But he only played 24 minutes. What happened the other 24 minutes? He only played 6 minutes in the fourth. What happened the other 6 minutes? And so I think collectively as a team, they have some defensive issues. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just HB. You can look at Herter. I want De'Aaron Fox to be better defensively. You know, Kevin Herter, 4 minutes in that game. You know, I'm looking at it. You had De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk in the fourth quarter, Whitey, played the entire game, entire quarter. They each played. Now, this is the starting backcourt that a lot of people want. We saw they got exposed defensively. They gave up 36 points. And so I just think you need better defenders on your team. Like, who's the outside of Davion and Keon, who's your defensive stopper you turn to?
Yeah,
at the wing position, I'm talking. That can guard small forwards. That can guard power forwards. We don't have it. We just don't have it.
I don't think so. That's why we were saying last week, you know, you probably have to play a little more zone, and they've started doing that a little bit. But obviously that's not going to solve everything. You mentioned Monk playing the fourth quarter, entire fourth quarter. That's what I was alluding to a little bit ago when I said, oh, there was one thing that I just didn't understand about the fourth quarter. Malik Monk, who dominated the game fourth quarter in overtime against the Timberwolves, then he plays in the fourth quarter against the Bulls when the offense isn't functioning. He had one shot, Kyle.
One shot.
He only took one shot. That's on him. It's on it. How does that happen? That's
a great question.
Yeah.
That's bad. And I got the box score right in front of me from the fourth quarter.
Oh, you and your box scores.
Yeah. No, sometimes I like to look at it too. Domas played 5 minutes and 24 seconds. He took five shots. De'Aaron Fox was 0-for-4 in the fourth. Like, I mean, and so Malik was out there, but he wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't a factor. He had a couple of assists. But, man, you would think down the stretch, we saw it against Minnesota.
Get him his touches.
Get him his touches. And that's why I think Malik as a starter does not work. Because you have Domas, needs touches. You have De'Aaron, got to get his touches. Keegan Murray needs his touches. And so I think Malik's value is when De'Aaron's off the floor, or Domas or Keegan are off the floor, whatever, where he could be a top two or three option offensively in terms of handling the ball. I don't think he handles the ball as much when De'Aaron's out there, when Domas is also out
right.
there. And so that's why I don't like him necessarily in the starting lineup.
You mentioned a bit ago the roster. It's a little thin, you could say.
Yeah.
Look at it this way. I was talking about this yesterday, and I looked it up. Take everybody in the Western Conference, all the teams. Wouldn't you agree that Kings right now, basically the starting five is pretty much what it was at the beginning of last season. Not the calendar year, but last season. I know yep. KZ Okpala started very early, but they settled on these five early yep. on last season, and it's the same starting five. You can't say that about very many teams in the West. Denver has basically the same starting yeah, five. They Denver. Won a championship, and they're really restricted financially, and they're running it back. Okay, well, they won a title. New Orleans, kind of, but, you know, Zion didn't play all of last year, and they're playing really well. But other than that, everybody has done something. So I'm not saying the Kings haven't looked at things, haven't tried. We've talked about this and talked about this, but that's part of the issue. As the league gets better and the West gets better, the Kings are one of the few teams that are starting the same five as they did at the beginning of last season.
Well, and we know the organization's stance on this is continuity.
Right? Yeah.
They value continuity, and that's why the major moves weren't made. And, you know, that's proven to be – the frustrating thing about it, Whitey, is I don't begrudge them starting the season that way, but when you look at the landscape of the West and seeing everybody going for it, it's like, man, can't you make some tweaks as well? You know, like if we want to discuss Monty should have did something at the trade deadline, I'm all for that. Like, but coming into the season, he valued continuity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he valued – it was first year under Mike Brown, first year with this five together. Let's let them grow the chemistry. Let's let it develop. Let's let it marinate and cook. And it – he was probably thinking they should be better
mm-hmm.
than they were offensively a season ago
mm-hmm.
because you're around each other. Instead, they've gone back, you know, taking a step back. That's why this offseason, I would be shocked if the starting lineup isn't changed going into next season.
Yeah, yeah. Depending on how this all shakes out, we still don't know where it's going. It
yeah.
could go any which way. But, yeah, if it ends up being a little underwhelming in any way, then, yeah, I agree with you. By the way, yesterday we had Jerry on. Really enjoyable conversation with Jerry Reynolds. One of the things he said was his guess here. He says, you know, in his opinion, he thinks the Kings really had high hopes for Vezhenkov offensively.
Yes.
You agree with that? Yeah, it sure looks
100%.
That way. Yeah.
Remember, what was our conversation beforehand? It was before the season. It was how long before Sasha
yeah.
maybe replaces Harrison Barnes
right.
in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you look at the Kings offseason, that was their big move. You bring the EuroLeague MVP over here, you expect to get something out of him, and they really haven't gotten anything out of Sasha because of early season struggles and now the injury. And so it's almost been a wasted year for him. And so I think their plan of having Sasha – you know, be a major part. It backfired, not due to anything that they could control, but I think when you look at this roster, they expected bigger things from him this season.
Yeah, and I think their other big move that we forget about, at least I forget about, their offseason move was re-upping Domas and making sure he was going to be here for a while.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I'm fine with that. You know, I have no problem with extending Domantas Sabonis.
Right.
He's been arguably their most consistent best player this season. It's, you know, when we talked about this at the trade deadline, Whitey. All right, if you're not going to get Siakam, you're not going to get Jeremy Grant, why not some other moves to sort of like, you know, depth moves, if you will. You know, Matisse Thybulle we talked about. PJ, we could have PJ Washington. You could have had Daniel Gafford. Gafford plays with a ferocity, with some physicality, is an alley-oop threat, a good rebounder. Like, you could have done some of these other moves, and I think that's where the fans' frustration is. It's not about going out there and not getting Siakam or some of these other big-name players. It's like you didn't even get some, you know,
mm-hmm.
You didn't make any depth moves even.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's frustrating. And that's why I gave Monty a pass at the trade deadline. Like, he got to get something done this offseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. DeLon Wright played well for Miami. But
yeah, he came in and lit us up, right?
He played really
that
well.
That was your boy.
Yeah.
I was like, DeLon Wright? Oh, and then he came and
And then they added
up.
Patty Mills, too.
Right. Patty Mills. And that's the thing that's upsetting. You see all these guys who aren't necessarily starting caliber, but are good veteran depth pieces going everywhere else. You know, how many guys are the Lakers going to get? How many guys are the Heat going to get? Clippers seem to always be in on somebody. Where's my boy Marcus Morris Sr. at? Go out and get, like, what are we waiting on? The problem is I don't think the Kings have a roster spot right now, if I'm correct, because they converted Keon to a full, and that was the last roster spot. So you got to make some moves if you try and do something.
By the way, on the YouTube chat here, going back to your Kirkland golf ball, Compio, and I'm with Compio on this. Someone was listening and dropped that ball on Draper's lawn. That has to be what happened, doesn't it?
Nah.
That's just too coincidental that somebody hit a Kirkland signature, yanked it. What would that be? Yanked it left?
Left. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Onto your lawn, and that would be really weird if that just happened.
Yeah, I tell you, man.
But it looks like it
right
was played,
Empire
right?
Empire Ranch. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Empire Ranch in Folsom. I live right next door to the 15th fairway, I think it is. And trust me, there's a lot of signatures being played on that course. Kirkland signatures being played on that course, man. So I don't think it was. Huh. That would be crazy if somebody did. I come home and there's like two boxes, two dozen sitting on my lawn. That would be awesome.
What happened to Whitey?
Well, no, because if there's another one anytime soon, then
right.
It's like, okay.
Right. Right.
All right. Yeah. Hunter Patterson, outstanding Kings beat writer for The Athletic. He's going to join us with his views of what the heck is going on around here next year. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Everybody feeling good tonight? Despite what happened Monday? Kings and the Lakers. By the way, Drapes, does this make you feel better? Let's see, who is it? Is it Compio? Says Kings by 1 point tonight. Huh? What do you think?
Okay, I'll take that. A win is a win, Whitey.
That's right.
I don't care how you get it at this point. You need W's.
Be careful tomorrow, though.
Especially against the hated Lakers. With more on what could happen tonight, where this team is, nice enough to join us, outstanding young Kings beat writer for The Athletic, Hunter Patterson. How are you doing? How are you dealing with this roller coaster season, Hunter? Got some issues with
you. Got us, Hunter.
Can you hear me, Hunter? Can I hear you? I apologize. We're having some technical issues. Jay is tending to them right now. So it looks like Hunter can hear us, I think, but we're having an issue hearing him.
Whitey, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
What the heck? It's 3:31, right?
Yes, sir.
And I'm out here. The dance team's out here. Guess who's about to warm up? I'm watching LeBron James warm up right now.
At 3:31?
Yes. I'm shocked.
With the dance team?
Well, the dance team's doing their thing in the middle, and LeBron's out here warming up.
Huh. Could he checking his ankle to see if it's good to go?
Maybe. This is like early. This is Ray Allen early. This is Kyrie early. Like 4 hours before a game? This is something to keep an eye on. So LeBron James.
Are you close enough to call him over and see what's up?
Nah, bro, me and LeBron. I don't know if he likes me or not, man.
Really?
Yeah, one time we were at the Kings game. My son wanted to get something signed. He just, headphones on, locked in, just walked right past everybody. Like me, son, like no. And me and LeBron go way back in terms of, like, I've covered him. When I was in Boston, obviously, all the battles, even when he was in Cleveland and then Miami. And he was in the zone. So he is not my guy. I can't claim that LeBron is my guy. I can't be like, Bron, come on over. Nah, I can't do that.
All right. From LeBron in his zone to Hunter Patterson joining us on the phone. Hunter, sorry about that. Thanks for your patience. How are you dealing with this up and down, incredible, crazy King season?
It has, like Aaron said last game, definitely been a roller coaster. First and foremost, though, glad to join you all. Always glad to be here with the fellas. But Yes, it's been pretty up and down. I think last game was a good kind of summation of how it's been going.
Yeah, up and down, no doubt. Hunter, what's the glaring problem you think with this team? What are you seeing? What's the issue?
It's hard to pinpoint, to be honest. There's moments I think they get in a rhythm like they were a couple nights ago against the Bulls, and then they possibly just, I guess, feel comfortable with where they are and let their guard down a little bit, which isn't what elite teams should be doing. That's not what they were doing last season, but I don't want to say it's mental, but it could be at this point. I'm not sure it's necessarily personnel wise.
Mm-hmm. Hunter Patterson, pardon me, from The Athletic with us. Hunter, why do you think the Kings, you know, the offense at times this year looks great, similar to last year, and then we have moments like the fourth quarter against the Bulls where it just stops functioning? Do you have any idea what is causing that or why that happens?
I know at practice yesterday, Mike Brown mentioned he wished he had brought De'Aaron in a little bit earlier during that fourth quarter, but I don't know. I think the lack of a consistent second scorer who can create his own, that might be one of the issues down the stretch. We obviously have become pretty accustomed to De'Aaron doing what he does, but only four shots from him in the fourth last game against the Bulls. And then Keegan and Malik, I would say, are probably 2A, 2B for that create your own score position, but they're not always there as consistently as you might like.
Hunter, you know, a lot of people are criticizing Mike Brown for, you know, that end of third quarter stretch, fourth quarter against the Bulls. Did you notice that stretch late in the third when the Bulls went on their run that he went with all reserve players, all bench players? And what did you think about his coaching throughout, you know, not calling a timeout when De'Aaron was struggling to get the ball in? I feel like collectively everybody could have been better. Mike, the players, everybody could have been better. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Drake. I think it can't solely be on Mike. There's guys who are on the floor who are expected to produce, whether they're in the starting unit or not. And in the moment, it was a bit glaring. Like, you could see DeMar was getting it rolling. Kobe White had the best game since he's been a pro. And they were running doubles at DeMar down the stretch, but it didn't really matter. He literally outscored the Kings 19-18 in that fourth frame. And it's something where Mike has kind of mentioned throughout the season. It's one thing when you run doubles at the team's best players, but then when you're having to do it for Ayo Dosunmu and Kobe White, that could kind of throw your defense off as a whole.
Yeah, you don't have enough defenders to be doubling everybody.
You need like eight guys out there, right?
Right, and I think they frown on that at this level. Hunter Patterson with us. Hunter, we know that Domas historically does well against the Brow. How do the how do the Kings match up with this Laker team?
I think Kevin, who hasn't been as consistent as he has last season, for whatever reason, he loves to play. I'm going to still call it Staples, even though it's crypto-oriented at this point. But he loves to play at Staples against the Lakers. Over his last two seasons, his entire time here with the Kings, he's averaging roughly 21 points, 6 assists, 4 boards, and 3 steals. And that's 55% from the field, 46% from 3. So he is someone for whatever reason, maybe it's just the good weather, good vibes in L.A., I'm kind of expecting him to turn it on.
I like to hear that. I feel like when you look at this Kings team, if Herter's cooking, if Malik's cooking, a very good chance for them to get wins. You know, we talked about Domantas Sabonis and Anthony Davis, Domas, a perfect 8-0 against them. But it's been a while since we've seen this Lakers team. I think November 15th was the last time. How are they different? How are they similar? I was shocked to find out that they're actually a halfway decent three-point shooting team, Hunter.
I think a large part of that, too, is D'Angelo Russell is playing out of his mind at this point. He seems to be that third guy potentially between him and Reeves, I guess, outside of obviously Bron and AD. But D'Lo has been opening up the floor and allowing, I think, better spacing for the team. So it's not at – they're not at a deficit with three-point shooters and guys who can't really space the floor the way you might want around Bron and AD.
Hunter, is keeping the Lakers off the foul line, is that one of the potential keys tonight for the Kings?
Definitely. I think it's funny. A few games ago, Darvin Ham was upset at their whistle. I forgot who they played. But I think, by and large, they're one of the top 3 to 5 teams to be able to get to the line in the league this season. So that is going to be obviously easier said than done. AD is a monster inside. We know what LeBron does. Rui's been playing pretty decent lately as well. So keeping them off the line and as well as the outside of the paint, they're pretty dominant inside as well. So I think those two areas are much easier said than done, but also the Kings are 4-1 against the Lakers going back to last season. So they've shown they're capable.
Hunter Patterson, writer for The Athletic, covering your Sacramento Kings. Hunter, we, you know, have talked ad nauseum about why this season feels different versus last season. And we used to say it was because of expectations. But now that I think about it, I feel like it's more – there's more, been more disappointing losses. Would you agree with that? Like, I feel like, yeah, last year we lost the teams we should beat, but I feel like there's more of that this year. What do you think?
100%. I think even going back to the Hornets, that loss sticks out to me this season. That was one at home. They were pretty depleted. Melo wasn't playing. Terry Rozier is a bucket now that he's with the Heat and everything, but he picked them apart. And it seems to be a common theme where they almost play down to their competition. And on the flip side of that, they've shown they're capable of beating the Minnesotas of the world, the Denvers of the world. And it seems they're struggling to find consistency, and it's really glaring when they lose the teams they should be beating.
Mm-hmm. We'll let you go on this one, Hunter. What's your best guess? Where does this all end up? Where do the Kings end up? Sixth or better, or are they a play-in team this year?
Obviously, they are a 6 seed, but I mean, I would at all costs try to avoid the play-in, obviously, like everyone would, but you have the Lakers in the mix. You have the Warriors in the mix. I wouldn't want to see Luka and Kyrie either. So I would say I'll go ahead and say 6 seed.
Okay.
Let's say 6 seed. They're out of the play-in race.
Gotcha.
Hunter, see,
I was struggling with it a little bit.
No, I know. It's a tough one. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thank you very much for your time. We hope to talk to you again real soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all.
All right. Hunter Patterson from The Athletic. Meanwhile, Drapes is breaking news. He's watching LeBron warming up. What's going on, Drapes?
You know what? He's going through his full warm-up here, doing some corner jumpers. And, you know, I need to ask, hey, fella, is he usually out here this early?
Every day.
Okay. All right. So this is a routine. And so this is no inclination of whether he's going to play tonight or not. This is his normal coming out here. So,
all right.
Yeah, but he is the only one out here. I mean, this is early. Mm-hmm. Like, this is unheard of early. Like, and, you know, the dance team, it's interesting because usually, too, Whitey, when the dance team warms up, they're playing music and everything. I wonder if because LeBron's out here, they like, nope, we can't play our music and do our full routine or anything.
I mean, you know how it is. You get a little, you know, and I'm older than you, but you get a little older, and it takes a lot longer to just get everything ready to go, you know?
Right.
He's got a lot of miles on him.
Yeah, you know, 40,000 points on him, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of points, but I'm shocked that he's out here this early. But they say this is his usual situation. You know, right now he's listed as questionable with the left ankle soreness injury or whatever, but he looks good. He looks fine, man. Doesn't look like a limp or anything, so I expect him to play tonight.
Yeah, great. Good for him. No, I'd rather he play. It's more, much more fun beating the Lakers when LeBron plays.
Right?
It's much more enjoyable.
Exactly. And you remember last time we were here, it was against the Clippers, I know, but we took over this building.
Yeah, that's right.
Do it tonight against the Lakers.
That's right. 339 1140 1-800-920-1140. Fingers crossed when we come back, it looks like we will finally be taking a look at the A's new ballpark renderings. Yes, with the Drive Guys on Sacktown. Did you know that the Kings could make history tonight? They could make franchise history. This would be the first time the Kings have ever beaten an incumbent in-season tournament champion, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think they've ever done that before, Kyle Draper, in the history of the Sacramento Kings.
Who is that? That first in-season tournament champion win in Kings history.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Because the last time they played the Lakers, that was before the in-season tournament was decided. So,
yeah.
Big
yeah.
game, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
If you want to use that tonight, I mean, by all means, go ahead.
Nah, I think I'll let you have that one. You got that all.
All right, too, thanks. So. I appreciate it. Before we get to the A's renderings – Jay says there's a I'm sure this is innocuous. He says there's a text that I should read for you. So let's just get to the text line
on
here.
On the text line?
Yeah. It's probably something about the golf balls or something. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. From the 707, the seat of all knowledge and wisdom, why do you guys continue to defend Barnes? He's been a major problem. He should have been traded. What do you think of that, Drapes? Jason, well, you got to make sure you get that in there for Drake.
This person didn't put their name on it, right?
True.
You know, they were too scared to put their name on it. Second of all, and we've had this discussion time and time again, if you're coming at me with Harrison Barnes slander, that's like saying, you know what, the fifth problem that the fifth reason for a problem is what we're going to harp on. There's two or three other things
yeah.
that I could easily bring up.
In all fairness, they said, why do you guys? They're not singling you out. But,
because he's
yeah.
my guy. What do you want me to do? Harrison Barnes is a pro's pro. Harrison Barnes is a leader. Harrison Barnes is a guy that shows up night in and night out. The best ability is availability. The dude hasn't missed a game in years. I think he's played like 270-some games. I got the stat right here. Like, this guy... And I think the Kings, when we look at Harrison Barnes, our problem is we expect top two, top three on a championship-level team, Harrison Barnes, when ultimately what he really is a very, very, very good, solid role player, fifth starter mm-hmm. on a team. And that's it.
Yeah.
He's up and down, but just like everybody's been up and down this season. And so don't come at me with a Harrison Barnes slander. I'm not taking it. The dude had 2 months of stellar basketball. Now, all of a sudden, oh, man, we got Harrison Barnes is killing us. You weren't saying that when he was winning games for us, when he was scoring 28 points. It's like it's reactionary. And this is where the whole box score situation came in, Whitey.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started discussing this, it was because the Kings lost the game. And the next day, people who aren't actually paying attention wake up, look at the box score. Oh, it must have been Harrison Barnes' fault. I'm not going there, man. You're trying to get my blood up. I see what Jay is doing. That's why he wanted you to read that.
Yeah, that must be why. I think you're right.
What you have to say about that there, Mr. Gleason?
I think that by now the plan for the Kings was that they wouldn't be relying on Harrison as much as they are, and that's not his fault. You know, he's supposed to be one of their better defenders, and we all saw what happened in the last game. He is playing a little bit out of position here and there. He's been solid for them. It's not his fault. They don't have – the roster is thin. The roster is not as deep as it should be. And so when you have a roster that has, you know, shortcomings, then everybody is being asked to do more than they really should be sometimes. And then, guys, it's like, hey, he's not doing his job. He's not doing his job.
Right,
honestly, that doesn't mean that – I understand why fans are upset. It's like – what are we getting from him at this point? Well, he's, you know, he doesn't always score a lot, but he's a good defender. Well, he's not really a very good defender right now, but he is, I think, on this roster. I still think he's a guy. He's there, so, you know, you're not going to get rid of him. You're
right.
not going to just say, see you later. He is a guy that can stabilize your offense. Would have been nice maybe to go to him a little bit in the fourth quarter when you were struggling so mightily to get a bucket against the Bulls.
Let me ask you guys this. Who's a really good defender on the Sacramento Kings? Give me the list. I'm just curious. Who would you say are good defenders on the Kings?
Davion Mitchell.
Okay, that's one. Go ahead.
Keegan's a much improved defender. Oh, Keon Ellis. Keon Ellis is a good defender.
Okay, all right. Keon, okay. Who else? That's our problem right there.
Yeah, that's my list.
You're right.
The list is too short.
Yes.
And so we can say Harrison Barnes, supposed to be a good defender, isn't, but you can say that about 10 other people on the team.
I agree.
And so we definitely have to address that this offseason.
So why didn't Keon Ellis play in the last game?
That's a great question. That is a great question. But Mike Brown explained it. You know, Keon's been playing well. Davion's been playing well. But he said because Davion has a little more experience, he's going to go with the more experienced guy. And so whose minutes is Keon Ellis taking away?
Mm-hmm.
Not playing De'Aaron Fox? You're not playing Malik Monk in the fourth? What were you, whose minutes is he taking away? And so you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, I feel like, you know. And that goes to show you that the roster needs some tweaking. Like, or if you're Mike Brown, you got a lead, you go with your defensive lineup in the fourth quarter. I don't know what the answer is, but it's clear. Ideally, you want guys that can do both, two-way players. Right.
Yeah, that's what I was saying last week, earlier this week. So often Mike Brown's choices come down to this guy, I could put him in. He's going to give me one, but not the other, most likely. And there's just too many guys on the roster where that's the choice they give the coach. And maybe these guys improve and, you know, Davion hopefully becomes a better offensive player. But I think that's part of the issue for Mike Brown. And we ask, you know, why didn't he put this guy in or that guy in? It's like, why didn't you put a better defender in when you're losing by so many points and you can't get stops? Well, it's because at some point, if you're behind, you got to score points.
Gotta
and
score
I put
too.
That guy in, he's not going to help me score any points.
Yeah, it's a catch 22, right? And it's like I said, like it's an issue with the roster because ideally you want guys who are good at offense but also don't hurt you as much defensively. It seems like, to your point, Whitey, it's like you got to pick one.
Yeah.
Pick your poison,
right.
Either or. And it shouldn't be like that if you're going to be – like, look at Denver. Right? We always compare the Kings to Denver as they come up. Aaron Gordon, good defender, right? Very good defender.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a liability offensively either. They
right.
put him in positions. KCP, great defender. But he's not a liability offensively.
Right.
And so that's where we need to get to, I think, with our roster, where you got guys, two-way players, and they don't always have to be your star players. You know, like your supporting cast ideally should be great two-way players.
How about this, Drapes? You know, as we're talking about the Kings and the struggles, one thing that Monty said as far as how the offense can improve, and we all talked about it, we all agreed. It's like, hey, if we push pace a little more, right? You get out and run.
Yep.
And they have the capability to do that. You've got the league's leading rebounder. You can get rebounds good. They're a great defensive rebounding team. They're number one in defensive rebounding percentage. They have De'Aaron Fox. They should be able to get out and run. Against the Bulls, a team that does not want to run, a team that does not want to push pace, you were outscored in fast break points 12-8. How does that – I don't know the answer. How does that happen?
I think, and that's a great question, man. I think, is it, are we more frustrated that the Bulls got 12 or that we only got 8?
I think that we, you know, 12's not an enormous
12's
number.
Not that much.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the problem. It's like, we got De'Aaron Fox. We should be up and down. We should be pushing the pace. We should be like, you know, I got to pull it up. What's our pace in the NBA right now?
It's around 12th, I think, which is about where it was last year.
Yeah, but, you know, it's everybody's playing that now. Like, that's our strength, you know. It should be, especially, Whitey, as we talk about the offense bogging down, the system bogging down. Well, what's a way that you can get it going again? Get in transition. Get some easy buckets. We don't get enough easy buckets. Transition
right.
buckets.
Exactly my point. Yes.
No, you're right. It's criminal when you got De'Aaron Fox on your team, the so-called fastest man with the ball in the NBA, and we slow it down and we're running half-court sets all the time. Are we forcing the turnovers too, though? Let me ask you that. I can pull up the numbers. Are we forcing enough turnovers to get out in transition? I'm looking at the Kings' defensive numbers right here. Got them. Sacramento We're 13th in the NBA in forced turnovers. Middle of the pack, basically.
Yeah. So that could be worse. I mean, for a team, team that's not very good defensively, that's you can live with that.
We're 20th in fast break points. It should be higher. It should be higher. With this, we're still a relatively young team, you know. And the thing that bothers me the most, Whitey, and I was even in high school, I was thinking this, like, the most fun basketball to play is up and down, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so if you're a player, why wouldn't you embrace that?
Yeah, I know.
Why wouldn't you, you know, okay, coach, you want us to run? Yeah, let's get it up. You want us to let it fly? We getting it up. But we don't seem to do that.
Do the Kings maybe not have the greatest assortment of finishers? Keegan had something. Keegan last year took a lot of flack for. He wasn't a great finisher. We'll ponder that when we come back. Why some are calling tonight a must-win for the Lakers. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports.